I led the Canadian to the room where the Nautilus's men were putting on their diving suits. I informed the captain of Ned's proposition, which was promptly accepted. The Canadian got into his underwater costume and was ready as soon as his fellow workers. Each of them carried on his back a Rouquayrol device that the air tanks had supplied with a generous allowance of fresh oxygen, a considerable but necessary drain on the Nautilus's reserves. As for the Ruhmkorff lamps, they were unnecessary in the midst of these brilliant waters, saturated with our electric rays. After Ned was dressed, I re-entered the lounge, whose windows had been uncovered. Stationed next to Conseil, I examined the strata surrounding and supporting the Nautilus. Some moments later, we saw a dozen crewmen set foot on the shelf of ice, among them Ned Land, easily recognized by his tall figure. Captain Nemo was with them. Before digging into the ice, the captain had to obtain borings to ensure working in the best direction. Long bores were driven into the side walls, but after 15 meters, the instruments were still impeded by the thickness of those walls. It was futile to attack the ceilings, since that surface was the ice bank itself, more than 400 meters high. Captain Nemo then bored into the lower surface. There we were separated from the sea by a 10-meter barrier. That's how thick the iceberg was. From this point on, it was an issue of cutting out a piece equal in surface area to the Nautilus's waterline. This meant detaching about 6,500 cubic meters, to dig a hole through which the ship could descend below this tract of ice. Work began immediately and was carried on with tireless tenacity. Instead of digging all around the Nautilus, which would have entailed even greater difficulties, Captain Nemo had an immense trench outlined on the ice, 8 meters from our port quarter. Then his men simultaneously staked it off at several points around its circumference. Soon their picks were vigorously attacking this compact matter, and huge chunks were loosened from its mass. These chunks weighed less than the water, and by an unusual effect of specific gravity, each chunk took wing, as it were, to the roof of the tunnel, which thickened above by as much as it was diminished below. But this hardly mattered so long as the lower surface kept growing thinner.